important and fascinating piece. So Thursday, from the beginning, we'll start with the Mishnah, but on Monday, 2 o'clock, we're going to just mashlim some of the smicha stuff. It might even take 2 Mondays, because I want to do a little bit of that. There's some issues of Malkus and Kiddush HaKodesh and Mashiach, you know, not the singing issues, like, you know, but and it's I think it's really a very inspiring discussion. Anyways, so that's the plan. But Thursday we're going to start straight with Mishnah, basically. Well, just as an overview, for then, you know, maybe I'll do the two Rashis I gave you, and then the discussion of Nilas Delas and Shlikusayu in the Gemara. Okay, for now, let's get through as much as we can because I have to finish a little bit earlier than I usually do. so again, I'm just going to mostly today, and we'll have somebody read some of the Gemara. Firstly, I mentioned this based on what came and we couldn't find it, and it was earlier than I thought, so I'm just going to read it very quickly, but it's really a piece that it's in Shara Tshuva of Beis Elokim, of the Mabit, and it's on page 108. It's in Perek Beis. I thought it was towards the end of Shara Tshuva, but it's Perek Beis. B'tam Zeh, he's trying to explain why it is that Karbanos, in the time of Karbanos, we require more for Tshuva than when there's no Karbanos. So the question is obvious. It's not, you know, Tshuva is a Chovas HaGavra. What's it got to do with and so on. The Kachani Omer kept Tshuva Liolam Mimu Kubeles, Ki Mitzvah Sagut, Eid of Puli Baret, Velo Bizman Beis Amikdash. Thank you. This is the base Elohim that we can find. It's Perek base, page 108 of my. Sheish Efresh Mashik Ma Bekabolas Hatshuva Ben Shnei Azman. Vehu Ki Bezman Shein Bisamikdash Kayam Hatshuva Miskabelas Al Kol Avonos Kalim Vechamur Min Kabolas Onesh. You know, Mashein came Bezman Karbonos. Why I'm skipping? The Tamze Ki Bezman Beis Hamikdash. Again, these are just like general Yesodos. Kibizman Beis Hamikdash Ushchina Shruya Lamata B'Makom HaMiyuchad Hi Mechina Esu Anashim L'Chachma V'Yiras Chet Yoser Mizman She'en Makom Miyuchad L'Shchina Ela Sheholeches Osanu B'Golus B'Avon Aseinu V'Ein Aniris Elohi Nisteres V'Lachain Bizman She'en Nig I'm skipping Bizman She'en Nigleis Hi Mo'ila La'Anashim La'Shpi Aleim Ruach Das V'Yiras Hashem. Right, huadin legabe avonos and chatan. That's a huge huadin. Because shchina, we understand, is a necessary component for nevuah. That shchina, hashras shchina, presence of the shchina, and karbanos affect chataim and tshuva is not obvious, but you can see where he's coming from. Then he says, "Ukeshadam chote b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayam avono chomer gadol yoser mishnei panim. Ha'echad mitzad yoser mushpa me'ashkina lekadesh atzmo v'liyoso muchan la'avodasa avonos hakodesh." That's the positive. V'hu b'bchiraso harav yitzro harav maksha atzmo ladas. That's quite a phrase, right? Laleches achra yitzro hara. Hasheni miyos hayos kimeis panim negan ashkina. Biyoso Galuya. So basically saying mitzad Maisaveira as well as mitzad Virisha Sagabra and the act of merit. We'll be talking about the relationship between the Maisaveira and the Virisha Sagabra and the merit in Chataim. We'll be talking about Hasra and other things during the And then he says, Dimyon Ha'evet Hover Al Dov Divrei Ha'adon Bifanov Kein Safek Sh'an Shogado. Val Zeh Chiva Torah Malkus Umisas Bez. So he compares it to a person who does an avera in front of Edom and Asra. Also assuming that Edom and Asra isn't just Lahapkin Ben Shogi Lamezin in a more technical way, this is the Rav's pshat, not based on Beis Elokim, but that the Hasra adds to the Mered and therefore to the Rishus Hagavra as well. But anyways, Bizman Abayis Veyos Shkina Gluya. Oh, this is our part, Biyos Bezdin Hagadol Omed liyaser aposhim v'achatayim ulahamisam kefi avonam velo chashash velo nizbayish mehem bios hashchina nitzeves aleihem. So he's saying both in the face of deterrent and in the face of the presence of these great people who are walking Sifrei Torah or walking embodiments of the Shechina, kemo shakosav elokim nitzav badas kel. V'lochem bezman she'en beis hamikdash kayam ve'en bezdin v'sanhedrin ha'yisurim ha'boim alachote maspikim l'marikas avono kemo amisa bezman abayis mitzad she'en ha'avo nechshav kol kach komer bezman hazeh v'shnei apanim ha'nizkarim l'mala ki yeshim ha'yisurim v'nechshav and so on and so forth. So this is the piece that I was talking about, which I say really strongly, it's a fascinating idea, and it really works with what we've been discussing. Okay, next. So yesterday I spoke about the Rambam's view of Rosh HaYeshiva, of the head of the Sanhedrin, tried to explain that the Rambam has a unique shita in this as well, and really thinks that, once again, the patterns, I think, are unmistakable in terms of the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, trying to not to downgrade Moshe Rabbeinu by the equation, the problem of the Ramban, the Gonim, but the opposite, to upgrade the Rosh HaYeshiva and what's needed in this process by virtue of the connection to Moshe Rabbeinu. And basically, in Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, that's what he does. The connection to Moshe Rabbeinu, we've seen throughout, we'll accentuate it more today, the fact that, Smicha B'Yadayim is a relevant factor even post-Yadayim, Ad Bezino Shemosh Rabbeinu. The fact that, Smicha B'Yadayim is the link to the common word and denominator of Smicha in Pirshei Mishnayos. The fact that in Smicha, this one Samuch, according to the Rambam, that would be based, one Samuch, three Dayanim, that's based again on this model of Moshe Rabbeinu as the Kesef Mishnah understands it in the Gemara, and as the Rambam formulates it, Rosh HaYeshiva in Pirshei Mishnayos, and that he is the Ikar Masmich, as we discussed, especially in the Chiddush HaSmicha of the Rambam, right? The idea of pointing first the Rosh HaYeshiva and him then appointing is a critical part, again, as he presents it in Pirshei Mishnayos in Sanhedrin. And again, I'm going to suggest that too is based on the model of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we noted also that the order of sitting, the Rambam changed it, and the purpose of the sitting, all of that based on his, elevated view of the Rosh HaYeshiva, and then by extension how the Abbezdin works, etc. I would add that in light of Rav Belbel's Ha'ara, which is that the Chad Samuch in the three is a din in, Mesorah, Isha Pish and Moshe Rabbeinu, so the idea of Rosh HaYeshiva as the embodiment of the Mesorah may be a factor, and I'm going to elaborate that in a couple of minutes. It's also interesting to note, as I said yesterday, that in Perek Dalet Halacha Hey, Rambam basically quoting the Gemara, that the minhag developed that they used to consult the Nasi, meaning the Rosh HaYeshiva, in giving of smicha. So for others, you might say, oh, that's just, Rambam says Mishum Kvodo. And it's very easy to say that that's a separate halacha and has nothing to do with anything else. But in light of the Rambam's own view, especially when you put together the two Pirshei Mishnayos and Yana Chazaka, that at least in Chiddush HaSmicha, possibly even in regular Smicha, the Chad is connected to the Nasi, to the Rosh HaYeshiva, to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the idea that they went back to that Lamaisa may not just be, it is Mishum Kavod, but it's a Mishum Kavod in a way, it's Hichziru Sadarim. And it's interesting to note, in light of that in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, when the Rambam says that you don't have to do that, but again, there are two ways to say you don't have to do something. Right, at the very, very beginning, the Rambam makes note, right, Echad bez nagon lachat sanhedrin katano bezin shol shoshot tzivim shiyah kol echad meim samuch mipisamuch kamot shorein samuch ashur biyad. And then he says, v'chein shivim skenim, v'osam skenim samuch l'acherim, ish mipi ish, and so on. The echad anismach mipi anasi, o mipi echad min asmuchim, afil lo hayoso samuch the sanhedrin me'olam. So there are two ways to read that line. One is that there's no special yichus to the smicha of the Nasi. You don't need it. And anybody who receives smicha, could give smicha. The other way to read it, and especially in light of the Barishona Heakomi Shemismach Somech Talmidav, right, Chachamim Kol Kukavod, Lichalot Zakin, etc., is to say that even though technically you don't directly need the Nasi to be giving smicha, right? That's because on a certain level, anybody who gives smicha is doing so under the aegis of the Nasi. Some Rishonim actually say this when they talk about the Resh Galusa, you know, and other things on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, meaning the other phases of smicha. But I think that this could be the pshat possibly in the Rambam. It doesn't have to be, but it just fits in perfectly with the Rambam's view of the role of Rosh HaYeshiva slash the replacement of Moshe Rabbeinu slash the Nasi. So two other makoros I just wanted to add to this, because it's a very important idea. One is just the language, just to remind everybody the language that we've already seen, of the Rambam and Hilchos Mamrim. Right? In Hilchos Mamrim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, when the Rambam speaks about the role of Bezen HaGadol, you know, there are Bezen HaGadol Shem Yerushalayim, Heim Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, Heim Amudei HaHorah, Mehem Choka Mishpat Yotzei L'Kol Yisrael, Ve'aleim Ipticha Torah Shenemer Al Pi HaTorah Sheyerucha Zumitzah Saseh. So again, this idea that they are Ikar Torah Shebal Peh is essentially a Moshe Rabbeinu thing, right? Esfali Shivim Ish. And we're going to get back to that, because that's critical to my suggestion about understanding Kiddush HaSmicha, which I'll get back to. But then the Rambam concludes, V'kol ha-mamin b'moshe Rabbeinu u'b'toraso chayiv lismoch ma'isa hadas aleihem b'lisha'ein aleihem. Again, gratuitous. You know, if you believe in Moshe Rabbeinu and his Torah, so you have to rely on the Bezen HaGadol. But once again, it's this exact, I believe, this exact idea. And as I said, these are perhaps overlapping, not just discrete, different functions of the Bezen HaGadol. Another example of this is something that Noach, I'm not here today, but brought to my attention, but he's absolutely correct, and that is with regard to Kilolas Nasi. I was going to speak about this in another context. When we speak about Elohim, we'll speak about it more. But the Rambam Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Chavav, talks about the fact, you know, the Torah says you're not allowed to curse somebody with Shem Hashem, as you know. And there's a special din in Kilas Dayan, because Elohim, Losa Kalel, and Elohim there means Dayan. Also important. Right? And there's also Nasi Ba'am Chalota, or an Issa. So in Perek Chaf Vav, Hilchos Sanhedrin, the Rambam says, "Kol makala dayim idayin yisrael over below saseh shenemar Elohim lo sakalel v'chein imkil hanasi." And then he adds, "This is not in the Gemara. This is what Noach pointed out to me correctly. Echad roshei Sanhedrin gedola o hanelech hareza over below saseh shenemar v'nasi ba'amcha lo sa'or." So v'nasi ba'amcha lo sa'or bepashtos is referring to the melech. Right? The Rambam is suggesting that this nasi also means Rosh HaYeshiva, the head of the Sanhedrin HaGadolah. Below Dayim B'Masi B'Vad, I'll call him Mekal Lechem Yisrael. And of course, if you are Mekalel, a Rosh HaYeshiva, meaning the Nasi of the Beznin, or the Nasi of Klal Yisrael, the Melech, that you're over Mishum, you know, Losa Kal Cheresh, you're over Mishum Elohim Losa Kalel, because if these the Dayan of the Bezin, Sanhedrin HaGadol, that. And the third one as well, if he's Aviv, then there are four. That's the Rambam in Halacha Beis. So if you look at Sefer Mitzvos, Shin Peh Zayin, this I'm adding, Mitzvos Lo Saseh, again, the Rambam elaborates this. Again, it's not explicit in the Gemara, so it's the Rambam's call, but given his expanded view of Rosh HaYeshiva and Melech, and Moshe Rabbeinu, remember, Melech, Moshe Rabbeinu was Kohen Gadol, he was Vayhi Bishur and Melech, right? And of course, he was Keneged Ayin Aleph, and he was the model for Rosh HaYeshiva. So anyways, the Rambam here says, he says the Yeronim Mikalel Anasi, who Amori Salav Anasi Bam Kalotar, Zashem, Klomar Nasi, Yasimeu, Akosiv Al Hamelech, Ashalo Hamem Shalah, Amar Yitale, Hashem Nasi Yachata, Bechachom Yisimu, Bimuchlat, I don't know what other translations have for that, Al Rosh HaYeshiva, Shalashivim, Zakenin Levad. Ubechol Talmud, Bahamishna Yomru, Nasiim, the Avos Bezdin, the Nasi, the Bezdin. He's expanding significantly on this point in Sefer Mitzvahs. So the Shonam Gamkein, Nasi Shemachal al Kvodo, Kvodo Machol, Melech Shemachal al Kvodo, Ein Kvodo Machol, according to him, it refers to that. The Dash is El Abu Kolon Gamkein, Nasi Ila Melech. Inyan Lav Zehu Shemazir Shalolakal, Komishi Yeshbo, Memshala, Litzavos, Who be male ha'el yona, bein shehoisa male shel shiltonit, wow, o male toriyit. This is the, I think, our different translations, but these are good. The he, what's male toriyit? He ha'yeshiva. V'zeu amuvan midin mitzvazu va'over alav zeh loke. So again, this is a very strong statement. Somebody has the Ramban al Torah. So the Ramban al Torah basically questions this. Anybody have access? It's in Shmos, Chaf Vav. No, Chaf Beis, Chaf Zayin, on the Pasuk. So number one, the Ramban there discusses the question of Elohim lo sekalel and points out that, of course, it refers to Dayan, which he calls Yoshev. Dayan Yoshev b'moshav Elokim ba'aretz. Okay, so I don't know whether he means with that only to say he has power, or I think likely he's saying what we've been trying to say all along, which is, again, this Elohim Elokim idea, meaning he's the representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, on earth. That's number one. But then he gets into the question of Nasi, you know, and he points out that there's no evidence one way or another. He's mistapek. But he says, you know, notwithstanding the suffix, that when the Gemara in Horios on Yud Aleph Bay says that Rebbe said, I'm not sure whether or not I should bring the Karban Nasi, you know, that the Torah speaks on in Vayikra, you know, which refers to Melech. And the Gemara concludes, no, that refers to a Melech, it doesn't refer to a Melech like Rebbe, you know, who just is the, not just, but, you know, the head of the Sanhedrin. Let's say. So the diuk of the Ramban is that, oh, that's true with regard to the korban, but obviously with regard to other things, the Rambam understood that Nasi and Rosh HaYeshiva are one and the same. And the language that he uses, that again, like the language in Sefer HaMitzvos, which he doesn't quote, is that you need Rosh Srara B'malchus U'memshelas HaTorah Mala Elyona B'Sraras HaTorah. Okay? So again, this just works out very well. You know, we have this expression that Chazal used, "Man, you know, Tamid Chachamim, Man Malki, you know, Rabbanan." Of course, we speak about the Keser Torah, but this, in terms of the Nasi of the Yeshiva, is a particularly important feature. And as I say, it's not just a standalone Kiddush of the Rambam, which would be enough of importance, but it's critical for understanding, you know, Bezna Gadol, and understanding Chiddush HaSmicha, and in general, bequeathing of Smicha, as we've been discussing it. Okay. So, having said that, let's go to the next point. The last thing we spoke about yesterday was the relationship to Par Helen Dover Shel Tzibur. I don't remember if I may have neglected to mention that while it's not clear in the Bavli that the Machlokas of Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda relates also to Smicha Sekenim, right? And certainly according to Rashi, the Pashas, it only relates to Paral and Davish and Sibor, and that was the view of the Kesef Mishnah as well. But as we discussed, for the Rambam's understanding of Pirush Mishayas, it certainly works better to say that it refers to both. And I was trying to suggest that that's why the Rambam was able to draw a wedge between Egla Rufa and Parhon Davar, even though the Gemara seems to connect them, but there are two psukim, but it sounds like the same thing in the Mishnah, because he felt that, you know, really, yeah, if Smicha goes with Smicha, Smicha doesn't go with Egla Rufa, the Gemara says Gimel, and so on. Okay, I should mention that the Tosefta seems explicitly to connect both Smichas Dayanus and Smichas Parhon Davar Shel Tzibur to the Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, like the Hagos Maimunios. And that would strengthen that idea. In any case, one of the things I was trying to explain was that if you take the view that this is all about representing Klal Yisrael's interests, and here I want to add, if I didn't emphasize it enough yesterday, it's not just representing Klal Yisrael's interests, it's the interface between, you know, the institution of Beis Din and the representation of Klal Yisrael's interests. As we talked about when we talked about Perakei Halacha Aleph and Mishnah Beis Amin Aleph, right, in addition to the question, is this a din in Beis Din and Dvar Magdolim Vachashuvim in Hora, or is it, a din in the tzigos of Klal Yisrael. We talked about Kitchen Kodesh and Kohen Gadol and so on and so forth. But there are some things that are both, like Hoshavas, you know, Sanhedros, the Kol Yir V'Yir. Right? It's not technically a Horah, but it's Beis Din acting for Klal Yisrael, perhaps, you know, in a Beis Din type matter. Right? And that is something that belongs on that Beis Amud Aleph and in Perakei Halacha Aleph, despite the difference with some of the other issues. So what I want to emphasize now is that the connection to Parol Davar Shel Tzibor, and even the discussion of three or five, and of course for the Rambam, as we've discussed, these connections are even stronger than for other Rishonim, is due to the fact that it's not only this idea of the representation of Klal Yisrael. I talked about the discrepancy between the Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Peh, and the language of the Rambam of Shkagos, as opposed to, let's say, the Ibn Ezra, who thinks that it's just Shlichus. For the Rambam, it's not just Shlichus. The Bailam of the Korban are Bez Nagadol because they're the Toim, even though the Ma'is Avera is Klal Yisrael, even if they were Toim and there was no Avera, you know, and certainly there's still an Avera for members of Klal Yisrael, they still have to do Tshuva on that Shogeg. So when it's not just the representation, it's the representation in their own matter, in the matter of Din and of Dayanus. And that's why the paradigm to our sugya, to smicha itself, appointing Dayanim, in other words, is, I think, so strong. Okay, so this impacts the question of kol and rov or rubo kikulo, as we discussed. There's a debate regarding Parol and Davar Shel Tzibor. So the Maribei Rav basically says that he wants us to be workable. I don't mean to pragmatize what he's saying, but I'm saying, you know, however he came to it all globally, he believed in it. So, and he believed in it as a workable idea. So his conclusion, you know, perforce, was that this is going to work on the basis of Rove. So he basically says, listen, there's a day in Parol and Davar Shel Tzibor you need kol. That's because that's, you know, nogea to the entire totality of Klal Yisrael. What's it got to do with, you know, with Chiddush HaSmicha? You know, in Kol HaTorah Kula, we say, Rov, Azinu Basa Rov. But, and not only that, but Lahalacha, even in Parol and Davar Shel Tzibor, that's the case. And Ralbach, as I said yesterday, disagrees on both. He thinks Lahalacha, Parol and Davar Shel Tzibor really is Kol. And he also thinks that, on the contrary, that that's very relevant. Because what the Rambam's trying to do here is not simply, you know, come up with a decision. I would even say that if you say rov for the Rambam, it's going to be a rubo kikulo, not an azlina basa rov, you know, kind of halacha. And there might be several reasons for that. But A, the initiation as opposed to the continuation of something may require more. But more than that, if you really are trying to capture or embody, right, the interests of Klal Yisrael, especially in matters of din, so maybe you need kol, or at least rubo kikulo. The other ha'ara, you know, again, so not only does it tie them together, but it ties them together in a way that is substantive, in a way which makes total sense. I think it also may be connected to the resource of the Masorah, which I'll get back to. That's going to be my idea in a minute. Meaning, where is the missing Ish Mipi Ish Masorah, you know, from Moshe Rabbeinu? How do you substitute for that in the Chiddush HaSmicha? So I'm going to suggest, and I'll elaborate in a couple of minutes, and I'll probably have to elaborate more on Monday, is that while as individuals, you know, who carry the Masorah, you need Ish Mipi Ish, the fact is that the psukim in Devarim, I think if it's true, I think it's a very important yisod, and I really believe it's true. Psukim in Devarim, in the end of Devarim, keeps speaking about how, you know, Torah will never be forgotten by Klal Yisrael. I believe this is part of the mitzvah of Zachar, you know, of Maimon Har Sinai. I think it's also part of the bris of Netzavim, you know, Kulchem, Esa Sheyeshno Veesa Sheyinen. I'll elaborate in a couple of minutes or on Monday. I think that's the yisod of Hakel, frankly. And that is that while the individual Masorah, you know, carried by individuals has to be Ish Mipi Ish, the Havtacha that the Rebbeinu Shalom gave to Klal Yisrael is that the totality of Klal Yisrael always has the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, collectively, one way or another. So to accomplish that, I think this is a very important principle, and I think a lot of riots for it. To accomplish that, you may need, at minimum, Rubo Kekulo of Chachmei Yisrael, maybe even Kulo of Chachmei Yisrael. It isn't just a decision, it's, you know, kind of substituting for that component. In a way, what I'm suggesting is that the you know, the Chiddush HaSmicha solves the Mesorah problem collectively, or at least by the collectivity of Chachmei Yisrael. In another way, and I think these are overlapping, it's maybe the real, not just a, you know, a compensation for, but maybe it's the paradigm for Smicha, in that it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu again. It's a way of, there's Moshe Rabbeinu, and, you know, he, you know, Hilchos Gemiri, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, he had the totality of the Mesorah. That's what we mean when we talk about Bezen HaGadol, right? Moshe Keneged Ayin Aleph, our Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh. The Chachmei Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael at least, Shebechol Dor, you know, have that as well. And that's where the substitution comes in. But if that's the case, then not a din and call it Torah Kulo where you can do Rove. You're going to either need Rubo Kekulo, because you need the totality, the whole point is that any individual is lacking that, or you're going to need actually Kulo, which is the view of the Ralbach. Similarly, this is a more of a stretch. Again, I mentioned that the Ralbach says, you know, the connection to Parlam Davershol Tzibor is so strong that if there's no Parlam Davershol Tzibor, how can there be Chiddush HaSmicha? You want to do Kiddush HaSmicha when there's a Beis HaMikdash and Parol Davershol Tzibor, that's one thing. So that seems strange, and he himself is a little bit, you know, more reticent and tentative about that, because, you know, it's one thing to say there's a common denominator or common dinim, it's another thing to say you actually need the chalos or the, never mind the chalos, the, you know, the practicality of Parol Davershol Tzibor. But I think that one could argue that at least the presence of, or the possibility of Parol Davershol Tzibor is a manifestation, it's a concretization of the chalos of, you know, Chachmei Yisrael kind of embodied this idea of a collective, you know, body that you know, in totality, you know, represents the Mesorah. So what you might say is, if Lemaisa that cannot be implemented, it's almost like an Achshavei, you know, or, you know, Migu, you know, to have a, you know, a Dofen Linyan Shabbos, have a Dofen Linyan Sukkah, you know, kind of, that's, when Parhlam Davershol Tzibor is a chalos, then, you know, then recreating the totality of the Mesorah, Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh, you know, but in other ways is possible too. But if that doesn't exist, you know, because other conditions don't allow it to exist, then, you know, maybe it can't be. Again, it's a bit of a stretch, but at least this is something to think about. This idea has a lot to do with other issues in Chiddush HaSmicha, of which there is mixed evidence, and again, which there's huge nafkaminas. Do you need the haskama of Klal Yisrael or of Chachmei Yisrael? And is it Chachmei Yisrael or also Talmidim? So again, the Rambam in different places, right, seems to say different things. In Pirshim Shnayis Bechoros, he doesn't talk about Chachmei Yisrael, he speaks about Yisrael. Again, I don't know whether he changed his mind because he was playing with these formulations, or it all means the same thing and he's just, you know, emphasizing, you know, different things at different point. I mean, he doesn't mean all, you know, every single member of Klal Yisrael. He means the interests of Klal Yisrael. So he writes Yisrael because it isn't the rabbis as a group, you know, as a special interest group. It's the rabbis doing what they're supposed to do, you know, representing the totality of the interests of Klal Yisrael. But anyways, in Pirshim Shnayis Bechoros, he speaks about Yisrael. In Pirshim Shnayis, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
B'nai Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah. In Pirshim Shnayis, here, no, that there he speaks about Yisrael. One second. Am I saying this right or not?
Yeah.
And that's where he also adds, by the way, the Horios piece of B'nai Eretz Yisrael de Ikri Kahal. By the way, it's interesting there that he says, even if there are only 10 people, if there were less than 10 people, I just want to raise that. It's not our topic right now. Right? He says, if there are 10 people in Eretz Yisrael, they're Koveya. Does he at least need a minion? to represent the totality of Klal Yisrael. Did he pick 10 for a reason? I don't know. Anyways, but the whole connection to Parlam Dovr Shel Tzibur, of course, is very strong there, where he's talking about Yisrael. Okay. In Pirshim Shnayis here in Sanhedrin, he doesn't mention Bnei Yisrael. What does he mention? Talmidim and Chachamim. So you might think, if there are Chachamim, what do you need Talmidim for? Talmidim are, you know, very important, but they're in training, right? But again, if this is all about not a matter of authority, you know, it's not a professional thing. It's about, you know, embodying the interests of Klal Yisrael in matters of, you know, din, and especially Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, Mesorah. So the Talmidim are already part of that, right? Even if they're not at a point of being Chachamim yet, but that's what Rebbe Talmud is all about. It's all about the Mesorah. So Talmidim ve Chachamim. Okay. In Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam's expression is Kol HaChachamim. Right? In the other places he has Bnei Yisrael, Kol Talmidim ve Chachamim. Here he has Kol HaChachamim. So that's where you get the debate. Does kol really mean kol? Does kol mean ruba kakula? Does kol mean rov? And that's the debate among the poskim. The Rambam has another expression too, and that is in Perek Dalid, Halacha Yud Aleph, which is where he, in Mishnah Torah, discusses this topic. What's the expression I'm interested in there? Yair? We're going to start to get everybody else involved, you know, starting Thursday, but today I guess I'm a bit of a rush, so... Yair? What? What expression does he use, though? Rambam Perek Dalet, Halacha Yud Aleph. Again, these Rambams are just, you read them again and again and again, you keep finding, you know, reinforcements and added depth to it. Yeah, that we mentioned already. What's interesting here is then the Rambam says as follows. In Cain, after presenting this whole thing, like, what were they so worried about? You know, we'll get together, a group. You know, we'll put it together. This is the, you know, the question is evidence to the Maribe Rav that you don't need kol, but you only need rov. Because if you need kol, you can certainly understand what the problem is, right? The question is, what about the answer? So the answer is, Lefi she Yisrael mifuzarim, v'yefsha she'askimu kulam. So what does that mean? Oh. So just the words. Lefi she Yisrael mifuzarim, they're spread out, v'yefsha she'askimu kulam. So, is that the same thing? What's interesting is that in Perek Dalid, Halacha Vav, Ram talks about the, you know, the need for everybody to be in Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk about that later. And he says, "Hayishneim ba'aretz somchin apapi she'eno im hasmuchin b'makom echad." L'sholchelo kosvin she'usamach enosim reshus ladud dinei knasa. According to the Rambam, the masmich and the somech, whatever you want to call them, and the samuch, the nismach, right, do not have to be in the same place as long as they're both in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. That's not so obvious, but it seems to be the case, right? So, what does Rama mean when he says that Yisrael Mefuzarin? Does he mean to say, and this is again a critical, practical issue, and I'm going to make it an important conceptual issue in a second too, right? Does he mean that everybody has to be together in one place in order to determine this? So that is the pshat of, again, the Rabbah and the Radvaz. Radvaz says, like, what's the big deal? Let everybody write letters, like in Halacha Vav. You see that the Rambam's Chiddush HaSmicha, number one, it requires kol, and there isn't kol in the 16th century, because some of us disagree. Number two, it requires the physical presence of everybody to get together. And the Rabbah, and the Ribbe Rav, how does he interpret? He obviously interprets like this, and he says it, I think. L'fishe Yisrael mufuzarin, v'yefsher she'askimu kulan. Not that they're physically dispersed, you know, and it's hard to get everybody to agree, two different points. But the fact that people are mifuzarin, right, whether physically or let's assume even physically, makes it more difficult for everybody to agree. Meaning, you know, you live in Bnei Brak, you have, you know, this cheshbon, you know, you live in, you know, Har Nof, you have another cheshbon, you live in, I don't need to count to list off all the places in Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, the mifuzarin here is a way of saying when there's geographic dispersion, it also just makes it less likely to get an absolute consensus. What Rav is saying is, even to get a rov, you don't need everybody together, but it's hard to get a rov too, because people have their own assessment of the situation and their own interests. I don't mean pragmatic interests, I mean spiritual interests. Maybe it's, you know, it's good for this part of the country, not for that part of the country, etc. So these are two ways to interpret. Now, if you take the view that you do need, like the Radvaz and the Rambach, you know, everybody together, so that's a very interesting issue. I think the Marsha, or the Ein Yaakov, one of them, in the Gemara, which we're going to hopefully read in just a second, says that, you know, one of the Gemaras say that Lois Taya Milsa, you know, they wanted to be masmich certain people, they couldn't get them all together. So what's a pshat? The guy was in Chutz Laaretz. Or they couldn't get the other, you know, smuchim together. Right? That's an interesting machlokas, akronim, how to read the Gemara. Well, let me say it this way. The most innocuous way might be to say, you know what the Rambam writes in Halach above is that the Somech and the Nismach do not have to be in the same place. But what about the Bezdin of Somchen? Do they have to be in the same place? That's not as clear. Moreover, let's assume, if the answer is yes, so is all Chachmei Yisrael, Chachamim, the Talmidim, are they the Somchim here? Right? That's an interesting question. Even if you were to say that when it comes to the three, generally, you know, they don't have to be in the same place. You might say, you know, because there are two different issues here. One is the Maisa Bezdin, and the other is the Ish Mipish. We'll get that back to that in a second. You know, so there's a one and a three, in a way. But, you know, here, we're all of Chachmei Yisrael are trying to create something. But what you might say is that even if the Somchim don't have to be together, and everybody can be Sholeach, Higeres, and so on, right? And even if it isn't that, either what we're saying in Chiddush HaSmicha is that this is a different kind of smicha. And it's a smicha, A, which is an initiation rather than a furthering of or an extension of this status and stature. And for that, maybe you need everybody's presence together. But especially if we take the view, what I'm kind of suggest, which is this is a way of recreating the paradigm of Moshe Rabbeinu, and or this is a way of putting the gushpanka, right, the, you know, the seal of approval, you know, from the perspective of Mesorah, you know, on this smicha. So then you might really require, just as you might require Ruba Kekulo or Kulo, so too you might require that the collective is present. So this, to emphasize that this is an integrated, this is the way that the integrated Mesorah is being expressed. Okay, so I think these are some of the interesting issues that come out of some of the discussions of so to sum up, the question is, in particular in light of Rambelvel, how do you get in Chiddush HaSmicha a substitution for Ishvet Pish from Moshe Rabbeinu? Again, if you held like the Aruch HaShulchan that we read, who said that the reason you need Ishvet Pish from Moshe Rabbeinu, not because of Mesorah per se, but Mesorah is kind of a guarantee for good judgment, you know, in picking the people. By the way, that I think is also very fascinating, because what? Being part of that process gives you better judgment? And somebody who's outside of that process doesn't have to go, or it's a garret, it's a quality control thing. Only people who got smicha have necessarily, or we know they have good judgment, everybody else is a suffix. I think what the Aruch Shulchan means is being part of that process transforms you. It gives you a greater sense of responsibility. Having learned with somebody and you know, getting the approval of one of the Chachmei HaMesorah, you know, that Dmus Dyukno, as well as that Shimusho Godol Mimilimudo, it transforms you. It gives you a certain subtle insight and a greater, you know, sense of responsibility in the system that makes these decisions. Even if it isn't the transmission of the Mesorah per se, right, being part of that process, it's like one of the reasons I encourage people, even who are not professionally going into it, to get smicha. A, the extra years of learning are good. B, I just think there's a certain Mesorah to that, and I think it theoretically can have a transforming effect on a person. And I think that's what the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, possibly has in mind. But if the idea here is to recreate Moshe Rabbeinu, then it isn't per se ish v'pi ish in the Mesorah. It's the collectivity of Chachmei Yisrael. If you take the view, which is what I'm trying to push now, that it is Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's Moshe Rabbeinu as the collective, repository of Ikar Torah Shebal Peh, the Kol HaDorah, the whole Klal Yisrael, because of the mitzvah of Zohar, the Iser to be Shocheach. That's why in Avos they say a Shocheach Dover Min HaTorah, or is a Mischai Benafsho, if you do it intentionally, because it's you're basically trying to destroy or actively like undermining this haftacha of that's given to Klal Yisrael, which guarantees it continuity, and which preserves this this precious Mesorah. So if that's the idea, so you really can recreate it in exactly this fashion, you know, that the Rambam is suggesting. So I think that if you look at the psukim about Shikha in Devarim, and how Klal Yisrael is a yud, you know, will never forget the Torah, and partly the Zohar and part of the experience, part of Maimon Har Sinai, and the beginning of Nitzavim, and especially Hakel, which echoes, as some of you said at my house, parts of Har Sinai, Yom HaKohol. But I think some of the specifics, in particular, I made a quick reference, maybe I'll speak about it Monday more, the connection to Shemitah, the connection to Chag HaSukkos, some of the psukim. I think it's basically this idea of reaffirming that the totality of the Mesorah is deposited with, you know, the collectivity of Klal Yisrael, and without that, you know, there can be serious problems. Okay, so that's what I wanted to add to the idea of both the connection to Parum Dov Shel Tzibur and some of the machloksim regarding the details of the Rambam in Chiddush Hasnicha. Okay, now let's talk more about, yeah.
I'm stuck under our badge, so if he doesn't think that the issue is getting everyone's own image, they said they care, clearly it would be an issue of agreement, but that rather needs to be one geographical location.
Yeah.
So how does he read the line around Rambam if he's so concerned? The EF should have a scheme of Kulan.
I think he actually, there are maybe 2 points in the Rambam. One is, number one, it's hard to get everybody together. I think a three-way, I'm not sure how he reads it. He could read it that there are two different dinim. One is, it's very hard to get all the Chachmei Yisrael together, like in, you know, Madison Square Garden or Barclay Center, or, you know, how are you going to get them all together? Like the Daf Yomi problem, you know. That's number one. And number two, to get them to agree is difficult. He also may think that sometimes to get people to agree, that is the second part is the first part, meaning you need them all to come together to agree. Because you need them all to agree, they have to all be together. But I think the best way to read it is that there are 2 points. But that's how he has to read it. Okay, let's continue in the Gemara. Yaakov, if you don't mind, just from where Yakir left off yesterday, I want to go through a couple of the issues in the Gemara quickly, and again, as much as we can. Okay, so we're on Yud Gimel on the base. Okay, Tana Smicha Smicha Skena Begimel, My Smicha My Smicha Skena, that we read, Mismach Savi. Okay, Mismach Savi Bishlosha, Minalam, we already discussed the Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is in the Maskan of the Gemara, when the Gemara says, well, Miman of Shach, Moshe Rabbeinu is 71, or Moshe Rabbeinu is 1, but he's not 3. Oh. So as I noted, the Keset Mishnah says that, no, that is the week the Rambam accepts this Maskana, that's his Mokar for 3, you know, but he connects to Moshe Rabbeinu. And I was trying to add, yeah, Lishitaso, all over the place, that Moshe Rabbeinu, Ad Beis Din Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The prominence of Yadayim, even though we don't do it anymore, you know, Hilchos Mamrim, the Rosh Hashiva, all of these things. Yeah. But it should be noted that some of the Achronim, look at the Ein Yaakov, the Iyun Yaakov, I think, says, well, I don't know, maybe the Maskana of the Gemara is to be Dochet, the Mokar from Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says, perhaps the 3, or maybe Moshe Rabbeinu had 2 other, especially according to the Rambam. So Moshe Rabbeinu took 2 other people with him, and you know was masmich. The Gemara, the Torah only says Moshe Rabbeinu. Is the Torah any better than the Gemara in Sanhedrin? Meaning, with the story that we're about to read about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was a one man show, right? The answer is, it was Ikar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and it was Ikar Moshe Rabbeinu. That's an interesting shita. Moshe Rabbeinu had 2 other partners in Smicha. That's their answer to the question. You know, but of course we have other, our answer to the question is, you know, different. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was in Chutz La'aretz. Okay, maybe say there was no Chutz La'aretz then, because there was no Eretz Yisrael. There are a number of anomalies of Moshe Rabbeinu. So either Moshe Rabbeinu's Smicha was different, right, because it was also Ashras Ashkina and leadership and so on, and has nothing to do with the rest, right? Or it does, and it's the things that we've been saying all along, right? The paradigms and the compensations. But these are basically the 2 ways to look at it. So the Iyun Yaakov, I think, in Ein Yaakov says, well, maybe it depends. I mean, that's what the Gemara, when the Gemara asks, do we do Smicha B'Yadayim or not? That's what they're asking. They're asking, do we still consider Moshe Rabbeinu the paradigm? Or is Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, unique and nothing to do with anything else? Again, I would just add that for the Rambam, you know, Smicha B'Yadayim is Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph, which is Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph for Smicha, right? And it's only in Halacha base, no, but fine. But in the end of the day, what the Rambam wants you to understand is that the differences, you know, are important, but the differences do not in any way detract from Moshe Rabbeinu's continued you know, function as the paradigm in all of this. Ad kenei kach, if I'm right, that, you know, even the Chiddush HaSmicha, in a way, is connected to that. Okay. So that's, it, when the Gemara says here, kasha, whether or not, you know, we're accepting, like a Kesef Mishnah, and certainly the way I'm reading the Rambam, or like the that view in the Ein Yaakov, I'm sure other Achronim too, which is, no, the Gemara's turning its back, they have another Mokar, or Moshe Rabbeinu had 2 other people, but it's no longer just Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is irrelevant because of Yadayim. That's the other thing that he has. Amalei Rav Acha, go ahead. Berei de Rav Acha, Rav Ashi, go ahead.
Amalei Rav Acha, Berei de Rav Acha, Rav Ashi. Yad Mamish Samchin Le. Amalei Samchin Le Bishma. Kari Le Rebbe, V'yavi Le Reshusa Lemeina Dini Knossos.
Okay, period. So let's stop that for a second. So here's where the Gemara speaks about Yadayim. So let's talk about Yadayim. Just mostly we've talked about it. I just want to add, you know, a couple of points quickly. Again, the question is, what is the significance of Yadayim? It implies, obviously, something more spiritual and Hashras Hashkina oriented. Or we had the Netziv who suggested that it refers to Siyata Deshmaya. So knowing whether or not it continues, even if it doesn't continue, first of all, does it continue? So I mentioned the Ksav Smicha of the Sefer Hashtaros, sounds like the hold that's Machlokes, and that we Paskin that you do continue Smicha B'Yadayim, which is fascinating. Josh brought to my attention that the Aruch HaShulchan has a read in the Rambam. Go ahead, Josh. Where's again? Perek Gimel. I'm assuming Gimel Sifkat Yud. Yeah, that. Yeah, you can just tell us. It doesn't matter.
He says that.
It's not like he's saying this for the Rambam. Yeah.
Yeah, he basically says that it continued even afterwards, but
till the time of the Mikdash.
Until the time of the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah.
Which
is fascinating that the Mikdash should dafka be the point of demarcating the time. And the Mikdash you no longer need it, I guess, Smicha B'Yadayim. And you could do, but it doesn't sound that way at all in the Rambam, but it's very fascinating. Okay. We already noted that for the Rambam, Smicha B'Yadayim is up front and center, but also in Pirsha Mishnayis, here in Sanhedrin, it's the connection to Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. And since we know that connection for the Rambam is very, very critical, so Smicha B'Yadayim, as you know, Moshe Rabbeinu Smicha B'Yadayim is critical. All this is just Lishitaso, one after the other, in my opinion. So Ad Beis Dino Shel Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rosh Hashiva being Moshe, the Rosh Hashiva and Moshe, or Moshe being Masmich, you know, as one, to, you know, together with the three, the idea of the Kesem Mishnah, that the Makar of the Rambam, that one is Samuch and the other two are not, is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rosh Hashiva as the Chiddush HaSmicha, that he's the person. All of this points in that direction. Josh also brought to my attention a curiosity, which I don't know what to do with. I looked at it again. And that is in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud, the Rambam codifies in the Gemara that there's a smicha, you know, it's a negative smicha. Namely, what context? Megadim. Yeah, the last halakha in Perek Beis, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that the only time you have, you put, you know, the Dayanim and Edim is to put their hands on the head of the Megadif, given severity of what he did, but that is unique. The Enosa Kalim note that really the Pashtus, it sounds like everybody who's present should do it, but the Rambam limits it, Dafka to Dayanim and Edim. Is there some sort of like a negative parallel? I was thinking about, I'm not sure. Okay. It's appealing to think that there might be, but it's hard to
think. It's even stranger because I think because of Mishnah that you could have to choose one way or another. You might have, either you have everyone including the Klal Yisrael there, or you just have the Eidim.
Right.
There's no source that just says Eidim and Dayanim. So it's
The Rambam says Eidim and Dayanim, and he leaves out less of Klal. So that part, in the sense of the representational part, I think is a good connection. It's the light of the Ha'ara of the Kesed Mishnah, which is that the Rambam should have mentioned everybody. You know, why does he only mention Edim, and why does he also add Dayanim? But you know, we know from other smicha that this can be a kind of a maybe. But it's hard to know. It's something to think about. Okay, then you have the formulation in the Gemara of Korele Rebbe Venosan Al Rishus Ladun. So that's an interesting formulation in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi just uses the expression of minui dayanim, or minui ledayanim, amnuye ledina, or something like that. The Yerushalmi's function, the Rach here quotes the Yerushalmi, sounds like a very functional, the question I'm asking basically is, to what extent is this about personal stature and stature as a Talmud Chacham, one of the Chachmei Masorah, or is it more about a functional, a job, in other words, a minui to do a job of being a dayan. Korele Rebbe, Nosa lo Rishus Laduin Dine Knossos. And I'll speak about Dine Knossos in just a second. In theory, these could be two different dinim. Korele Rebbe, stature, right? Chachmei Amasora. Nosa lo Rishus Laduin, just like the Moshe Rabbeinu, and just like, you know, he was Rabbeinu and he was also the head of the Sanhedrin, just like Sanhedrin Agadol is Ikator Shabal Peh, and they're also, you know, Misham Hara Yotzei, and so on. I think it's interesting, in a way, that in theory they could be two different dinim. And if so, the question is one more dominant than the other? Or it could be that this is the integration of the two dinim, meaning you can't have, you know, this function without stature, and maybe the stature also requires the output of the function. There's a famous tshuva of Rab Shmuel Gabuav, confusing it, in like the 17th century, where he says, he criticizes a certain community, I mentioned this probably in the past, for not being enough involved in like practical din, you know, batei dinim, sheilos tshuvos. He says, forget about the din part. Your theoretical learning is going to suffer because you don't have the challenges, you know, of applying, you know, like think how much, you know, some of the frontier questions have really, you know, forced us to reassess, you know, certain areas of halacha. Anyways, so what I want to say is that Korele Rebbe and Nosan Lo Rishus Laduin, you know, could be integrated in both directions, could be two different components, and if so, can you separate them ever? Lemaisa, you can. You can have somebody, Korele Rebbe, who doesn't serve or function in a Bezdin. You still would say Elohim Lo Sakalel, but that could be an anomaly, right? It's interesting to think whether you can separate them, whether one is more dominant than the other, whether to look at smicha more as a credential for a job, in other words, more of a trade school, or really more of a training ground for Chachmei HaMasorah. I prefer obviously the second, but Clearly, it's also the second. Anyways, the Rambam, interestingly enough, here in Perek Daled, does he quote this formulation, right? Ketzad hi asmicha ledoros lo shiyismichu yidei marosh hazakein ela shekorin lo rebi omrim lo harei atzamuch v'yesh lo reshus ladun afilu dinei knasos. Okay, but then it's fascinating that in Halacha Gimel he adds ein somkin smicha sheminui minui haskeinim ledayanus, that part, which is like Yerushalmi, ela v'shlosha v'hu shiyah echad tzamuch mipiacherim kamo shubiarnu. So we'd already mentioned that according to Rav Elul, this is like, you know, this part of the Mesorah part, Ish Mipi Ish Moshe Rabbeinu, and a Maisa Bezdin. I'm not so sure. Number one, is it really a Maisa Bezdin? Okay, we'll take it one at a time. Is it really Ish Mipi Ish the Mesorah? It is, but is that for its own sake, you know, to continue the tradition of the Mesorah, or is that, you know, just a way of establishing, you know, this sense of responsibility? We talked about the Aruch HaShulchan already. I talked about the Moshe Rabbeinu paradigm, you know, as being a way of getting back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Maybe that's the point. And I talked about the third possibility, which I think is the most intriguing and most mechudash to say, and that is that, you know, Chiddush HaSmicha is able to work because of the repository of Torah Shebaal Peh and the Haftacha for all of Klal Yisrael. So really, it really is Ish Mipi Ish, you know, in that sense. So but basically what I'm saying is the Ish Mipi Ish part could also be understood in a different way, I think in three different ways. Pure Mesorah, pure judgment and responsibility, or the paradigm, you know, of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. The second part, the Maisa Bezdin part, well, Rav Elul calls it Maisa Bezdin, so is that really a Maisa Bezdin? Minchas Chinuch discusses, for example, we'll talk more about this later on, not today, but what about Balayla? Can you give smicha Balayla? Is it a Maisa Bezdin? Right? Or is it only because it's considered like Gemar Din and not Tchilas Din? That's also an interesting question. Or is maybe it's not really a Maisa Bezdin. Maybe it's more like a panel. Again, it's a way of diffusing the responsibility or the perspectives of who you're choosing. Certainly, if you need three smuchim, right? Part of the question is if you really break it up in the way that the Rambam does, as we've discussed, what are the different functions? Like, is there an Ikar and a Tafel? Is it integrated? There's also a question. In other words, you need both of these components. Let me say it this way. If you hold you need three smuchim, which is a suffix of the Rambam, right? And the view of the Rama and Rabbeinu Yonah, so we could still ask an interesting question in light of Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba and in light of Moshe Rabbeinu. And that is, even when there are three smuchim, let's say, is there automatically a chief samuch, a chief masmich, or somech? Or can there be a chief somech? Right? Certainly, if you take the view, which is the Rambam Safek and his psak in Yad HaChazaka, which is that it's one and three, or one and two others, so then the idea that they play different roles and that one is more ikar than the other is certainly more possible. Right? It makes sense that it's three diffuse, although it's not muchrach because of Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba and Moshe Rabbeinu, but it makes more sense. But once you have a one and a three, right, then the question of, are they, you know, equal parts? There's a Maisa Bezdin part and a Mesorah part, or a Maisa Bezdin part, or a panel part, and a, you know, and a Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever you want to understand it. Or is it Ikar, you know, being done by one of these? Maybe in which direction? Again, the Maisa Bezdin is the Ikar, but you need the Mesorah. Or the Ikar is the Mesorah, but you need a Maisa Bezdin, right? Certainly what we try to explain in the Rambam, in Pirshei Mishnayos, and Yad HaChazaka, is that the Ikar is the one, right? That's the Rosh Hashiva thing in the Chiddush HaSmicha, that's the Moshe Rabbeinu, Kol Mi Sheyirtze, and so on. The Marik, when he talks about Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, talks about, you know, if you have three Masmichim, he talks about this, in context of smicha, classical smicha, and on Daf Hey, we'll speak about it on Daf Hey, about Netilas Rishus, Mireish Galusa, or Mirabo. If there's one dominant somech, does he have a different status as opposed to the others in terms of kafuf? Right? If the nismach has to be kafuf to the somech, are all three equal? or one of the three, the dominant one, is Ika? And is there a difference, as far as that is concerned, between classical smicha and the others? Okay, we'll elaborate these issues as we go forward. But what I'm trying to highlight is, in addition to Kol Misha Yirtza and so on, is it three or is it one? Both for the Rama and Rabbeinu Yonah, but it's a much, I think, more acute question for the Rama. But what I would add is that, again, Reb Elul has it Maisa Bezdin and Mesora. I think that it also could be that the breakup is Korle Rebbe, right? V'nasa lo rishus l'adun dinei knasas. Again, I think it's interesting that the Rambam only mentions minui l'dayanim, right? Ein som k'nsmicha shehi minui askenim l'dayanus. Dafka, when he mentions the three and the one. So maybe one could say that the three, the Maisa Bezdin, is about the function of smicha l'dayanus, or minu l'dayanus. Whereas, you know, being, you know, enshrined into the, you know, elite club of Chachmei HaMesora, that's the Korele Rebbe part. I'm not saying you can split them, and you can't have one without the other, but maybe these are the different, maybe these are different components. That's why the Rama mentions that there. Okay, but we'll talk more about the relationship between the different types of smicha regarding this and some of the Nafka Mina. Yeah.
Whenever you speak about the mice based snapshot, especially for the Rambam, how does Rebbe think that that would work with Rambam and Parakvei's focus on measuring races? It's a snapshot based thing, it has to be Shashosha, and some of these refer to smoking. You know, Chad.
No, that's a Bezdin, a functioning Bezdin. A Bezdin has to be comprised of three. A Bezdin in. I mean, you're asking mice about how to buy something here? Okay, so this is. We're going to table this for the moment. But the machlokas between the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ramah on one side and the Rambam on the other also reflects another issue. And that is, when do you need smuchim in the context of a bezdin? That's what you're asking. Okay. So that, I think I gave some marmakomos about that, but we're going to do them in the context of Shukasayu and so on. I mean, what about Geirus? What about Nadarim? What about giving smicha? Right? Does that require a bezdin samuch? Or not. Clearly, according to the Rambam, you don't need a Bezdin Samuch to give smicha. You need a Samuch, Ish Mipiish, for the reasons that we're talking about, right, the various reasons, Rav Elul, HaShulchan, the Moshe Rabbeinu, my reasoning, whatever, and you need a Maisa Bezdin, but apparently a Maisa Bezdin per se does not require smicha. Maybe only, we'll discuss it in the Rav's theory, maybe only Hora, you know, requires, you know, smicha. So we'll talk about that debate. You know, what do you require? Maybe that's the suffix of the Rambam, partially. You know, where the Rambam says you're not sure whether Gimel. By the way, what is the Rambam's conclusion of Mishnah Torah about one samuch or three smuchim? What? Unless, but that too depends on, Isaac? That too depends on, simple as one, why should I bother, especially when we're rushing, why should I waste time on that? Right? But it also a little bit depends on the Chiddush HaSmicha argument, namely, the Hadavar Tzarech Echreya. When the Rambam says in Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Aleph Hadavar Tzarech Echreya, right? What does he mean by that? So according to the Ribei Rav, that goes back on this question. Just like in Pirush Mishnayos he was Mistapek, so here, you know, a few halachos later he's Mistapek. Again, he's not so sure about this. Right? Whereas the Rabach and the Radvaz and others say no. In the Davar Tzarech Echreya refers to the Chiddush HaSmicha, even though he's not hesitant about it in Pirush Mishnayos, either in Bechoros or in Sanhedrin. But the Davar Tzarech Echreya doesn't refer to that. Okay. Good. 1 second. Again, the mocker for this whole thing of Chad Samuch is the Kesem Mishnah's Moshe Rabbeinu that we discussed. The Radvaz says it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Even though the Rambam's Mistapek and Pirush Mishnayos that maybe you need three smuchim, again, it is clear that one of them is the Ikar. And as I say, according to Rav Elbel, one could have argued about that. You might have said that the Masorah part is just a necessary addition. Okay. Okay, good. So what about, what is this idea of Lodun Dinei Knossos? Okay, let's continue in the Gemara and for a second, and then I want to talk about the phrase Lodun Dinei Knossos. Okay, go ahead, Yaakov. Yeah. So first of all, I think the Nishtakhu issue here is very interesting in light of what I've been saying. But okay. You mean this whole idea of Zachar and Shikha and so on. We find when Chachmei Masora die, Gemara records in a few places that, you know, everybody panics and loses their memory. I've spoken about this, the Gemara in Temura, and also the Gemara in Brachos, about Zimun. Again, I think it's very connected to the Psukim and Devarim about Shikha, and again, the mitzvah of Zachar, the Maimed of Har Sinai, and what we do in Hakel. Okay, and Hashocheach. It's connected. I'll elaborate on Monday if I have a chance then. So here, Nishtakhu Dinei Knossos B'Yisrael, I think the language of Shikha, I could be, I'm stretching too much, and I'm just too enamored with, but the word, the language just fits in beautifully here. What is this Dinei Knossos? I mean, when you lose Smicha, the first thing you think about is that you lost Dinei Knossos? Jonah? What's the first thing? I wake you up in the middle of the night, right? Yeah. You know the drill.
Right.
You know, Jonah, you know. No Smicha, oyvei. What's the first loss?
Smicha.
Oh, first of all, that's the real right answer.
Yeah.
Right? Smuchim, Elohim, Elohim. That's what we're really losing. Okay, that's the real right answer. But that's not the answer that most people... That's the answer that you should give in the middle of your... you know, being woken up from your sleep. But most people, you know, out there would probably give a different answer. But I like your answer the best. And it's the right answer. Yeah, exactly. No more capital cases or all the other cases that were called... Knossos? Right? Strange. I don't have a good answer. I mean, I have a partial answer. I just think it's an interesting phenomenon. And it's all over the place. And the Rambam quotes it too. You know, based on the Gemara, Rambam quotes the language. Nishtakhu dinei knossos. Nishtakhu. Anyway, let's continue for a second. I'll explain. Nishtakhu nigrasinu.
Ella, bat dinei knossos miyisrael. Bat dinei knossos.
Okay.
Shabbat malchus. What happens? Shabbat malchus. Gazer malchus harisha gazer al yisrael. Shekola somech yeharig. Bchol nismech yeharig. Beir shesomchin ba techariv. Utchomish shesomchin bahen yeyakru. Masav yudah ben bava. Halach v'yashav lo bein shnei harim gedolim v'bein shnei ayaros gedolos v'bein shnei tchomei shabbos bein usha l'shafram v'samach sham chamisha zekenim.
He was trying to get as few people in trouble as he could, right? Even though he was doing something very dangerous, but he felt obviously the danger was worthwhile. Go ahead.
V'samach sham chamisha zekenim v'elohin Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua, Rabbi Avya Mosif, Avraham ben Nechemya. Kevin sheyikiru oyveihem bahen amar lahen banai rusu. Amru lo, Rebbe, matehe alecha, amar lehen, harini mutal lefnehem, ke'evin she'en lahufkin.
Yeah, the Marsha says that this means that he was makabel as yisurim ba'ava, and that he felt no pain, like an evin. It's a fascinating thing also. I think some of them Farshim suggest, I think again in the Ein Yaakov, somebody there suggests, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava felt that one point he had been guilty of being monea, you know, Talmudo from his Talmidim, and that he was Mischayev Benafsho, which is also just very, I don't have the words, but basically what's he doing here? Like he's sacrificing his life for the sake of the continuity of the Masorah. You know, so the idea that, you know, he felt this was, you know, that he had once made a mistake by, you know, by holding back, you know, and not sharing, and then he gives up his life in order to secure the continuity, is a fascinating thing. Why is he giving up his life? This is Yaharig Vayavor. So again, some of the Farshim say that this is Arkansas de Misana, because they outlawed Smicha. I think that possibly, even without that, this is, you know, one of the Devarim HaChamurim in a certain sense. It isn't exactly a Vadazara, but when we learned Yaharig Vayavor, we noted that, you know, there's an expanded notion of what a Vadazara might mean. And, you know, losing part of the Masorah, obviously Smicha, and I'll get to Dinei Knossos in a second, is something very important, very critical. Again, if you see it's something smaller or narrower, then you have to say something like Arkasa de Misana, Shas HaShema. But otherwise, Siris Nefesh for Smicha. Wow. Okay. Go ahead. Amru Lozazam Bisham.
Hashinat Subo Shalosh Meos Lundios Shalbarzov Asukhbara.
Okay, the Achzorius of the enemies of Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, something we're experiencing very much today. Asok Kvara. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava.
Right, so it's the answer to the question. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Acharine Havu Behade.
That's the Gemara's answer. Aidla Chashavlu.
Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava.
Right, so here's the question. Is that just, again, you can read the Gemara, you know, Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and, you know, a question and answer. No legal significance. Right, the Radvaz is really telling you that this line in the Gemara, Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, means that Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava was the Ikar Somech, and that's the Makar, that you only need one Samuch and two other people. Now, I just want by extension, it says Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, right? The Radvaz reads that that's a pshat in the Rambam, that he gets it from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. The Kesef Mishnah says he gets it from Moshe Rabbeinu. But what I want to add is, remember I said before that in Perek Dalid, Halacha, what is it? Hey, Vav? When the Rambam talks about Mishum Kvodo Shel Hillel, right? They decided to make a rule that you can't give smicha without the nasi. Right? I mentioned then. So Mishum Kvodo just means Mishum Kvodo. Right? But especially since he already mentions it in Halach Aleph in the negative, maybe it's on his mind that it's always implicit and it's a return to that. So I just think it's interesting that especially according to the Radvaz, Mishum Kvodo Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava doesn't just mean kavod. It's a substantive thing. It means he was the Ikar Masmich. And in a way, for the Rambam, especially if that is a pshat in the Rambam, so that's a loaded phrase now, Mishum Kvodo Dehila, because he's really the Ikar Masmich, even if it's only implicit. Okay. That might be a stretch, but I don't think so. Okay. Either way, Mishum Kvodo Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Okay. Okay, let's go a little further, and then I want to talk about Knossos, but let's go a little further. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava.
Samchei, Omer, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Omer Rabbi Meir, Lo Samcha Rabbi Akiva, Inu El Atoa.
So we have contradictory information here, right? Samchei, Rabbi Kiva.
Lo Kiblo. Samchei, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Kiblo.
Yeah, so what is this Kiblo and Lo Kiblo? So, here's the, again, the Achronim speak about it. First of all, Rashi, what's Rashi say? What do you mean he wasn't mekabel the smicha? He didn't want this. Is it lo kiblo or lo kiblu? This a plural or a singular? Rabbi Kiva didn't accept it or it wasn't accepted? Okay. This is an important paradigm, you know, for somebody receiving but not, you know, effectively getting smicha. Important to know. Anyways, what are the factors here and do they in any way reflect on the nature and character of smicha? Okay, so what does Rashi say? Hadayin haya bachor. He was too young. So the Hagos Yavitz on the spot, so we're going to pick it up, in the back, in other words, or Yaakov Emden, says, I don't understand. If you're too old, it's not, you know, you're not kosher to be a dayan. It's good to be a bachor. Okay, there's a gap between being too old and being a bachor. But anyways, according to Rashi, that's an interesting perspective, that if you're too young, you can be too young for smicha. Okay? For this smicha. It implies, right, a certain, you know, seasoning, experience, wisdom in life. I'm not sure what the age for that is. But, you know, also respect maybe of others, stature, how other people perceive you, just like mumin and koma, right? It's hard to know whether this is about the way people perceive you, or it's really about the substance. But either way, that's an interesting idea. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden himself says the Chachmei HaMesora didn't accept it. The other Chachamim. That is truly fascinating. Has implications also. But, again, if we take the view, this isn't the Chiddush HaSmicha, but the idea that the Chachmei HaMesora kind of have to approve or have the right of refusal of a personal smicha, right, is also interesting and plays in very well with the ideas that we have been working with. The Sma and the Gra in Siman Zayin suggest that he wasn't accepted by Klal Yisrael. I think that's what they say. I might be confusing that with the Marsha. I don't remember who says what. The Marsha says something, and the Sma and the Gra say something. One of them says he wasn't accepted by Klal Yisrael. That, of course, is also works very well. But what does Klal Yisrael have to do with Smicha? Right? The answer may be everything, as the Chiddush HaSmicha may imply. The original Smicha of Moshe and Yoshua, the Psukim in Baloscha, right? It was both the Shivim Zkenim and Yoshua had to be present in the presence of Klal Yisrael, the Nesiim, Bnei Yisrael. It's reflects the Minui idea. It's a status in Klal Yisrael. That's why Kilaz Dayan, you know, is a separate Mechayev, and so on. It's a Minui, as we discussed. It's a Srara. But in addition to that, it shows that basically Klal Yisrael are your bosses, or it shows one of those two things. The other is that it refers to the level of learning. Again, Rabbi Akiva, well, maybe he wasn't seasoned then. By the way, I should mention that Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the end says maybe he wasn't married, maybe he didn't have children. You know, that's also part of the mix. Anyway, some of these low kiblos reflect either the role of Chachamim Mitzvah or the role of Klal Yisrael, the objective need for him to have a certain stature or status or learning or experience. And these are very important ideas. The Rav used to say in the name of his father that this is a different idea. And that is that the nismach has to be makabel his smicha. The din of Kabbalah. It's not just bestow. You could say he bestows it, and it's al pidin. He's a samuch. He may not want to practice. That's up to him. But again, according to some of the other mefarshim, he, you know, it never got off the ground, or he wasn't worthy, or other forces or factors that could be ma'akev were ma'akev, like we just explained, and that's very important. But the Rav thought, or his father thought, no, it just means it's a din of Kabbalah, which is fascinating because we see from the Gemara that the giving of smicha is more primary than the receiving of smicha. We see that from the Gemara about Eretz Yisrael, right? And the Rambam codifies this lahalacha as well, namely that it's more obvious that the somchim have to be in Eretz Yisrael than the nismachim, which puts simply the emphasis on the giving of smicha rather than the receiving of smicha. However, according to Moshe Soloveitchik at least, there's also a din of receiving. Again, if this is a din of Misora, so the emphasis on the giving certainly makes a great deal of sense. The idea that there's also a din of Kabbalah, that takes two, in other words, to be involved in a Misora relationship, right, is very sensible. I don't know whether that's a motivator of Moshe Soloveitchik, because the Rav and Ramosha and Rabchai, they're very into this idea of Misora in general. I don't know so much about the Smicha part, but I think it just works well anyway. Yeah.
So the Gemara about Eretz Yisrael, I don't think really proves that the giving of Smicha is primary. It's because
okay.
You can understand the requirement of Eretz Yisrael in two different ways. You can understand it that Smicha has to be in Eretz Yisrael, but giving is the primary part, so that has to be. Or you can understand it that it's just the giving part that has to be in Eretz Yisrael, even though it might not be the primary part of smicha.
I mean, to say that just could be a din in the Eretz Yisrael factor of smicha itself. Similar to what we were discussing, you know, that other day in the Yerushalmi, right, in Bikurim. So maybe it doesn't prove. But it's interesting. I hear you. I think it's a good horror. Again, it's just interesting to me that the Rambam, either way, codifies this when he talks about, in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Sanhedrin, you know, he does quote the Kol Shekein of the Gemara, which we're going to read in just one second. But I hear. That's a good additional point. Let's continue. I'm Rabbi Shulben Levi. By the way, it's one view, another view in the Akron, I should say, sorry, that the reason Rabbi Kiba was is because it was Bechutz La'aretz, which would imply that there's a day in the Gemara, or some possibility in the Gemara of Smicha Bechutz La'aretz, which anyways we'll talk about. Part of the Kiddush HaSmicha issue, that comes up as well. And some gonim have such a thing. We'll get back to that point. But okay. I'm Rabbi Shulben Levi. Ein Smicha Bechutz La'aretz.
My Ein Smicha. Yilemo de lo dani dina knasos klal b'chutz la'aretz v'hatnan Sanhedrin hagas dina b'arz v'mechutz la'aretz.
Notice once again that the Gemara is identifying smicha with dina knasos. Okay, almost like reflexively. I still want to speak about that for 1 minute. Ella
de lo samchina and b'chutz la'aretz pshita somchin b'chutz la'aretz v'nisvachin b'aretz hamrin and de lo. Ella somchin va'aretz v'nisvachin b'chutz la'aretz.
Mai.
Tashma, the Rabbi Yochanan have a mistara later, Rabbi Shimon bar Abba, the Lord have a gabayu with Lismachai. And further, Rabbi Shimon bar Zirud, v'chad the email man Rabbi Yonatan.
I mentioned this before, is that because they weren't actually with him, or right. They weren't in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah. Go ahead. I think also the language of the staya milsa works very nicely for the nitziv, who felt that smicha, at least be adayim, but also in continuation, based on that, is a din in siyata d'shmaya. But okay, go ahead. Lo staya milsa also didn't succeed. Have a kamit star tuva.
I'm really.
Okay, so we have to talk about that a little bit more also. Why were Ben Eli barred from Smicha? That certainly implies, again, something about the stature of Smicha, not just the functionality of Smicha, and that makes it inappropriate for Ben Eli. We'll talk about that. Rab Zeir Hava Mitmar, go ahead, Lewis Mechay.
The Omar Rabbi Lazar Lom Havi Kabel Vakayam. Kevin the Shama Lahad, the Om Rabbi Lazar, Ain Adam Ola Ligadula, Ella MK Machinlakal Abanosav, Insile Anach.
So we have to talk about that also. Why? This is a kind of a Minui, obviously. This is where the Gemara seems to say that it's a Ola Ligdula Smicha. So it's not just a function, but and it's Mochal Abanosav. Okay, so we have to talk about that. Kisam Kula, Reb Zera, go ahead.
Sharulei Hachi, Lo Kichav.
They sang to him, that's also interesting. Okay.
Velo
Shrak.
Velo Pirchus, Viola Schein.
Yeah. You mean not the superficial things, only the substantive things. Go ahead.
Kisam Kula, Reb Yamil, Reb Yasi, Sharulei Hachi, Kolmandain, Kolmandain Samchulana, Lo Tismchulana, Lo Misarmite, Velo Misarmisin, Rami Lolo Mikhamisin, Velo Mitarmisin.
Yeah.
Rabbi Abau ki hava asi mesivta lebe kesar nafku maternisa debe kesar mashari and lay rabbi da ame de varna de umse botina de nahora barach masa chashma.
Yeah. So again, we have talked about this just a little bit, meaning you know, these obviously imply that smicha is a real minui and it's a leadership function in Klal Yisrael. So we'll talk a little more about these things when we get a chance on Monday. I want to just finish off and more about the Kiddush HaSmicha, but I said we'll start Thursday with the Mishnah. So as a transition to the Mishnah, let me just tell you what I think about the Dinei Knossos for a second. Just remember two things about Dinei Knossos. Number one, well, let's say three things. Number one, the insignificant thing to say is, well, even in Dinei Mamonos, in other words, that there's no Dinei Fashos, you know, can be a good thing sometimes, and that's a whole different realm. You know, do you really want to bring back Dinei Nefashos? Well, we do, but, you know, we also know that, you know, we're Mahapkin, you know, Leschus. Not having Dinei Nefashos, you know, has its ups and downs. But in Dinei Mamonos, of course, Knossos is what requires Smicha, and that's part of the civil law system, and it has a certain deterrent value and so on. You know, and it's almost all good, I would say. And that's what we're referring to. Oh. Or, and, you know, outside, this may be the simplest answer, Dinei Nefashos, even if, you know, if there is Smicha, it's not going to work unless it's a Bezin sitting in Lishkas HaGazis, and only Dinei Knossos based on Smicha will. Okay. However, I think those are two pragmatic explanations. But I'd like to suggest, and this will end, is something, a third one. And that is, if you remember, when we learned the Sugan and Bamid Beis, Bnei Noach, and the Gemara said, well, Bnei Noach are obligated in Dinim too. What's the difference between Hosifo Leim B'mara? So one of the deis of the Gemara was Knossos. And what we noted then was that Knossos are when basically we don't operate just on the basis of quid pro quo. And possibly, we'll explain this when we get to Mishnah on Thursday, Beis Aleph more, it's not only that it's more than quid pro quo, which is a very pragmatic perspective on Kosher Mishpat, it shows, when there's no quid pro quo, that we have other aspirations for Kosher Mishpat, which are critical to the whole enterprise of Minui Dayanim and the idea of Smuchim Elohim Elohim. In addition to that, it's even possible that Bezdin's role in Knossos, according to some Rishonim, is a creative role. Meaning they're mechayiv the Knoss. They're not just mebarer that there is a Knoss. Which basically means that the idea that Dayanim are not just, you know, interpreters of the law, you know, but that they are a moral force and that they are, you know, more hara, they create, is something, and the expanded view of Choshe Mishpat, even pragmatic Choshe Mishpat, is something which is particularly brought home by Dinei Knossos. So the idea that that's not something you want to lose. You don't want to lose that institution which reflects that, which accomplishes that, and also which embodies that and reflects that. So the idea is that smicha, lodun dine knossos, lishtakach dine knossos, is something worth being moser nefesh for. So we'll fill in some of the blanks on Monday on smicha, but we'll start on Thursday with the Mishnah. Okay, sorry, I'm running.
Downstairs, you can see.
Oh, yeah.